Greetings and welcome to the Dead Harpy Podcast, the podcast for indie filmmakers and fans. This is Brad Paulson. Today we're going to be talking about the movie Barbarian. I didn't hear anything about what this movie was about. I just saw some advertisements for it, heard some kind of hype about this movie. I had no idea, and then heard it was kind of crazy, but had no idea what I was going to be getting into. I knew absolutely nothing. Just kind of piqued my curiosity, and I was like, this looks like a lower budget movie that's going to be playing in a few limited theaters. I'm going to check this out. And it's got the cast, it's got Bill Skarsgård is in it. I was like, that's cool. The only thing I really had heard about this movie before was that it was about an Airbnb experience going wrong. You hear, like, every once in a while you hear some horror stories about it, or like there's like cameras watching people when they're sleeping in there. Just weird shit like that. So it opens up like great horror movie potential. When you have like Airbnb as a setting, also like great for like low budget, like indie horror kind of scenario too, where you just got primarily one location and then you can have all the weirdness happen, chaos happen around that one weird location that you want. Just avoid any kind of reviews that have spoilers on it. The best experience that you'll have out of this movie is to see it in a theater when you're, well, plus number one, you're going to be supporting like lower budget movies. And we need more of those to do well at the theater, so they'll keep making them. The better lower budget movies do, the more finance will come through for other lower budget movies to get made. So it's good on many levels. But this is a crazy ass movie. It's great too, because after watching it, I heard people leaving, and you're like some of the comments from people leaving, and people are, one girl like called her dad, and she was like, "Dad, this is like the most fucked up movie I've ever seen." You, she's like, "I can't even describe it, but you just got it." She's like, "This thing happens, and this thing happens, and then this crazy shit happens." She's like, I don't even know how to describe it. You just got to see it." But that's kind of the best way to tell people about this movie is that not to know anything about it. The trailers leave it very vague. You just know that something creepy is going to happen. This movie is basically like just like a rabbit hole of creepiness and potential for other like low budget indie movies to tap into when you see the scenario that unfolds in this. So basically, you've got this woman played by Georgina Campbell, and she's going out for like a documentary filmmaker research position assistant. And I can't imagine that pays any money, but she's in Detroit. And believe me, like however well this movie works on many other levels, it does not work as a travel brochure for Detroit, because it makes Detroit look like a real, at least the area that they're in, real rundown, where it's just like total like crime ridden, do not go out at night or bad shit is going to happen to you. And the cops that come by, they're like, "Look, we can't really investigate this right now because we just got a call where people are getting shot at. So we have to go. That's more serious." So whatever like urban legend horror story that you have happening in here, whatever chaos is unfolding right now, there's people getting shot at. That's immediate danger. We have to go. So it sort of sets up that this is an area that's very shady, and then there's not going to be a lot of help given. So basically you got to fend for yourself in this area. So this woman, to save money, she goes to this kind of like low budget Airbnb. She's got a research position assistant job in the morning, and she goes to the lockbox. And when she goes into the lockbox, she has the code that she puts in. It's raining outside and there's no key in there. So she goes out to her car and she's trying to call like the property manager, and she looks in the window and she sees a light turn on. She goes back to the door, and there is Bill Skarsgård. Bill Skarsgård looking very kind of like dapper and put together. So he lets her in. The first quarter to the first half of this is very like kind of cat and mouse-ish about what's going on with her and him, about whether she can trust him. So this is basically, this Airbnb has been double booked. The way that this movie is shot, the way it kind of plays out, it sort of is kind of through the eyes of her, because she's very kind of like scared or on edge the whole time about something bad that could be potentially happening to her. Because once he lets her in, she's like, "This is double booked. We can't get a hold of anybody." He's like, "Well, it's raining outside. Why don't you just go ahead and stay the night?" He's acting very gentlemanly. He's like, I'll sleep on the couch. You can sleep in the bed." And then she's like, "Well, no, that's okay. I can sleep on the couch." He's like, no. "I was raised to be very chivalrous. I'm not going to let a young woman sleep on the couch when there's a bed available." So he's like, "You sleep there." And then she goes, "Yeah, but I got this thing about clean sheets So he goes to clean the sheets for her. And so this whole thing is, you don't know whether he is being kind of nosy a little bit. He's being kind of almost too courteous and too kind of nosy about looking out for her. So you don't know whether it's like a creepy stalker thing going on or exactly what is happening. And the way this movie plays out, like not knowing anything about it, it's great because there's constant like tension and suspense going on. You don't know whether he's just being a nice guy, whether something super creepy is going to happen, whether he has ulterior motives. You don't really know a lot about her aside from the fact that she's just feeling very kind of like on edge the whole time. And then something happens in this movie. They discover something in this house that leads them down. This house is okay. Remember the movie From Dusk Till Dawn where they show the temple? So basically the titty twister place they go into where they fight all the vampires. The end of the movie, it turns out to be that temple that is much larger than it appeared to be from the front because they show the back of it and how far it goes back. It's kind of akin to that. Whereas there are passages and corridors that lead places in here, secret locations in this home. And that's kind of like the only like real spoiler I'll give out is that this house is not what it seems to be, meaning that it's much larger and they're not the only ones there, more or less. So the whole time you're kind of like wondering, is he luring her there or is he just like a victim like she is? And then as things progress, it just gets weird. And they explore more of this place. It just gets creepier and creepier and weirder and weirder. And this is a movie that has like a lot of tension in it constantly. It does take some like kind of comedic breaks. They do introduce a couple of different characters in this movie. So they split from her and Bill Skarsgård. And the funny thing about Bill Skarsgård being polite and courteous is that you're just watching the whole time being like, this guy played it. It's like, so he can tap in to the creepiest shit imaginable if he wants to. Like that smile that he pulls off in the movie, It, that super creepy smile. And I think from what I heard, he got hired. That was one of the reasons he got hired is based off of that super creepy smile that he did where the smile just goes all the way up past the cheekbones. It's so high, that super kind of exaggerated Joker smile. Yeah, it was just fantastic and creepy. But you know that he has probably like limitless creepiness that he could channel if he wanted to. So we don't know whether we're going to see that from him or not. But anyways, this movie is a lot of like kind of unexpected turns. And it takes and it keeps taking lots of unexpected turns. It does even the tension when it enters when the character Justin Long enters because he provides some comic relief. He's a very like super douchey character, but he also has kind of like shows some kind of redeemable qualities. So there's layers to him, which is great. This is a great like movie for actors like Georgina Campbell, Bill Skarsgård, and him are all fantastic in this movie. But it works on a level where it's just this constant unexpected stuff happening. Now, it does have, when they do the reveal, it goes into familiar territory. That's the only thing that didn't completely lock me into this movie just being awesome. But for the majority of the movie, and even like when it goes into familiar territory, when they do the reveal, it's still really cool because it's crazy. It does not let off of the craziness. It does have a lot of things where characters are making real dumbass decisions, just real stupid decisions. Kind of the kind that like you roll your head about, no, like where you want to yell at the screen when you're in like when you're in the theater, you hear people yelling at the screen when people are making stupid decisions. You want to join in with them, but the theater that I saw it in was silent because everybody was so creeped out when they were watching it. The tension was so high that people were too. Like, they didn't even want to do, like, that tension breaker where they're yelling at the character. I did hear kind of some people, like, muttering, you dumbass, don't do that, or don't go there, that kind of stuff. But it wasn't anything out loud. It was, like, under the breath because people were too freaked out. And the funny thing is, too, is this director has done, like, mostly comedies here. I'm going to look up his stuff here. So the director's name is Zach Krieger. He did, aside from Barbarian, he did Newsboys, a TV series. The Gang Self Sucks, a TV series, WKUK Talk About Sketches, The Civil War on Drugs, and several episodes, 53 episodes of The Whitest Kids You Know. And then he also directed Miss March, which was a movie starring a couple of the cast members of The Whitest Kids You Know. So it's primarily comedy kind of stuff. And there are, and I think like comedy directors, when they switch to horror, usually make that transition really well. Comedy and horror have like a great like fine line that separates the two of them, where they just like merge well together. They're two kind of like parallel universes that work well together. I find that comedy directors make for good horror directors, because usually they have a, you know, usually comedy comes from places of pain, which is relief of tension, relief from any kind of like personal pain to ease that. And that's what makes them channel both that comedy, both those comedy and horror elements really well. But I think this is a great career move for Zach Krieger. And I think that he's going to go on to some pretty cool stuff after this, because this is a very like energetic indie movie. And I've been seeing this with a lot of like indie movies lately, especially like indie horror movies, where they just tap into this like energy, stuff that Hollywood does not normally tap into, sort of more unique ideas, crazier shit, because indie movies are a constant, and indie horror is a constant playground where you can experiment and do different things. And that's a lot of what I saw in this movie. The only thing that really didn't work for me in it was when it went into familiar territory. Once they went into familiar territory, and I was like, okay, now I know how this is going to play out to the end. There's actually like one or two surprises that I saw like after it went into familiar territory that I didn't see coming. For the majority of it, the surprises are fantastic and work really well. But once it hits, once it goes into that area where you've seen that kind of movie play out before, you know, the like the suspense and kind of like the edge of my seat kind of stuff started to go away a little bit. But I think for the majority of it, this movie works really, really, really well. And you should definitely go check it out and see it in the theater if possible, to support more movies like this that take chances getting made. And I think that it's another example of like scenes like The Black Phone, which is very like inspiring to watch. Just more lower budget, kind of more indie centered kind of stuff, focusing on like character and ideas and things that you don't see coming. And just things that makes horror work really, really well. And that primal kind of thing that both this movie and The Black Phone tapped into as well. And it just is one of those movies you'll see and you'll be like, it'll just kind of like spur all kinds of like ideas for like another horror movie that you could see like this, or like potentially ideas that you have of your own and want to make. But it's just kind of, it's inspiring to see a movie like this. I think that's mostly what I got out of it. But yeah, so definitely go check out this movie Barbarian at the theater. Support more movies like this. And yeah, you're going to be in for a crazy ride. So, okay, cool. So I just love seeing like cool and like kind of different stuff like this. All right. Well, that's it for now. Hope you have a good rest of your week. This is Brad signing off for the Dead Harvey podcast. Until next time, stick to the roads. Stay clear of the moors.